in his last days. Evil times will come and it's here today. Look at all the hate, senseless crime and murder. Every day, human trafficking, racism, police brutality, bullying, rape, trauma, let's stay.
Show me a peace and people I pray.
Let your kingdom come, let your will be done
in the earth.
Let your glory rise, let your sun shine,
let it burn.
Radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Like the Lord.
Ain't nobody do me like the Lord.
Nobody do me like the Lord. me like the Lord.
Ain't nobody.
Oh, nobody.
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 Because he's mine. Can't nobody do me like Jesus.
Can't nobody do me like Jesus.
Can't nobody do me like the Lord.
Can't nobody do me like the Lord.
Nobody do me like Jesus.
Can't nobody
oh, no.
do me like Jesus.
Can't nobody do me like the Lord.
Can't nobody
oh,
do me like
nobody.
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 Yeah. So, all right. John chapter 3 and verse 1. We're going to move around, so be ready. John chapter 3 verse 1 says, "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night." We'll stop right there, all right? Then John chapter 7. And we're going to look at verses 50 and 51, John chapter 7, verses 50 and 51. And it says, "Nicodemus, who had gone to Jesus earlier and who was one of their own number, asked, 'Does our law condemn anyone without first hearing him to find out what he is doing?'" And then John chapter 19, and verse 39, John chapter 19 and verse 39. There it says, "He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds." Amen, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Father, we thank you now, and we pray, God, that you will speak a word into our hearts and into our minds to remind us that you are God. It is in you that we live, move, and have our being. We thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. I want to talk for just a few moments this morning from this subject because as we look at Nicodemus, in our passage, as we study his life, amen, we understand, and the text is tailored to teach us that he was curious, he was concerned, he was compassionate, but at the end of the day, brother was not converted. Let me say it again, amen. He was curious, he was concerned, He was compassionate, but he was not converted. Thank you, ushers. And if you don't get anything else out of this message this morning, I hope that you leave here with the thought in mind, amen, that it's good to be curious, it's good to be concerned, it's good to be compassionate, but all of this church business means nothing if we have not been converted. Jesus told Nicodemus, amen, you must be, you've got to be born again. Amen. And I really could just sit down and because what I hope to drive home to you today is that all of the accoutrements of church, the padded pews, the lights, amen, the big Bibles, the singing, none of it means anything if at the end of the day, your life has not been changed. And please, I'm going to use what Pastor Eigerhardt used to say. He said that if you don't understand me, don't misunderstand me. Amen, amen, amen. All of this is important, what we do. But at the end of the day, you've got to be converted. And Pastor Gorn is not simply talking about behavior. I'm not simply talking about what you do and don't do. You know, a lot of folk hang their hats on what they do and what they don't do. Because I don't care how much stuff you stop doing, I don't care how much stuff you start doing, if you have not truly given your heart and your life to Jesus and trust that his death, his burial, his blood secures your salvation, then you're just wasting time. Amen. How many folk here can say, Pastor, I can say that I'm a little better than I used to be? I'm talking behavior. Yeah, I'm a little better. Amen. But see, what Pastor has discovered is that as soon as you clean up one thing, the Holy Ghost shows you two or three other things. Now start working on this. Amen. You don't cuss folk like you used to. Amen. But you still tell a lie every now and then. Amen, amen. You quit this and you quit that, but you're still doing this and you're still doing that. Amen, amen, amen. But again, what we want to make sure, and conversion really means that we give it all to him. Amen. I'm saved not because of what I do and don't do. I'm saved because I really, really believe in my heart that what Jesus did by dying on the cross and shedding his blood secures my salvation. Come on, point towards heaven and say, it's what he did, it's what he did. So what we discover is that conversion, amen, involves transformation. It is to undergo change as the result of an experience. And you just check it out in some of the people's lives that maybe you know, maybe they were alcoholics or maybe they were drug addicts. What you discover is that the transformation in most folks' lives like that has to do with some experience they had. Amen. Amen. Maybe it was driving drunk one night and almost losing your life. And you decided then, I need to put this bottle down. Maybe it was getting arrested with some drugs or something, and that experience taught you that I need to leave this alone. Amen, amen. As it is for those things, so it is with spiritual conversion. Spiritual conversion comes from having an experience with the Lord. And I think that's the problem for a lot of folk that come to church and they socialize and hang out with friends and folk that they like and all of that, but leave here without having an encounter with Jesus. And I've come by to tell you this morning that you cannot truly experience conversion until you have had a real life encounter with Jesus the Christ. I wish I had one or two witnesses in here today. Oh my, oh my, oh my, oh my. And so many of our churches have folk who are curious, folk who are concerned, folk who are compassionate, but I hate to say it, far too many in church have not been converted. I'm going to get in trouble now, but I'm going to say it anyway. They serve in church ministries, sing church hymns, usher church aisles, teach church Bible studies, preach from church pulpits, can quote Bible verses, can pray soul-stirring prayers, give their tithe and their offering, and yet they haven't been converted. No real change has taken place. And you need to understand, my brothers and sisters, that while conversion comes by way of an experience with the Lord, not every experience with the Lord results in conversion. What are you saying, Pastor? Well, let me remind you. Judas Iscariot walked with Jesus for 3 years. Y'all, he saw Jesus do a lot of great miracles. He saw Jesus do a lot of great things. He heard Jesus preach. Oh, my, can y'all imagine what it must have been like to hear Jesus preach? Well, Judas Iscariot heard Jesus preach, amen, life-saving words of the gospel. But at the end of the day, Judas was not converted. How do I know it? I know it because the Bible teaches that he betrayed his master for 30 pieces of silver. And then went out and hung himself. Well, if you need another example, let me talk about Brother Peter. Y'all remember Peter? Amen. Peter had seen Jesus do some marvelous things. He saw him raise Jairus' daughter from the dead. He saw a transfigured Jesus engaged in a divine dialogue with Moses and Elijah. But with all that Peter had experienced with Jesus, Peter still had not been converted. How do we know it? We know it because when the moment of truth came, Peter denied that he ever knew Jesus. Nudge your neighbor and tell him, we need to be converted. We need to be converted. And today, my brothers and sisters, there are a lot of people in the church for reasons other than because they've been converted. Somebody's here just to make your spouse happy. You know you won't get any peace at home unless you go to church. Amen, amen. And so your body is here with her, or your body is here with him. But if the truth be told, your mind. That's why you ain't said amen all this worship service. That's why you haven't clapped yet. That's why you didn't want to stand up when Pastor said, let's stand up and worship God. Amen. It took everything to get you up out of your seat because maybe, just maybe, you have not been converted. Somebody's trying to bargain with God. That's why you're here. You made a mess of your life, and now you need the Lord to fix it. And you figured that you've got a better chance with God if you come to church. Somebody ought to help Pastor. Somebody's here today out of a sense of obligation. You came more out of habit than a genuine desire to worship the Lord, and you feel like God ought to be glad that you made it here. But I stopped by to tell you that if you haven't come because you've been converted, if you haven't come because you know God is worthy to be praised, if you haven't come with the mind that stayed on him, then you may be in the right place, but you're not here for the right reason, and I fear that you will leave here no better than you were when you came, because we need to be converted. In these texts today, John tells us about a man who had an experience with Jesus. Oh, my. But his experience didn't lead to conversion. Now, let me back up and fix something because, amen, I got to say this. At least you're here. All right? A lot of times we condemn the folk that are here. I'm not condemning you. Amen. I'm just asking you to check yourself before you wreck yourself and make sure that you're here for the right reason. But Pastor wants to pat you on the back because at least you are here. There are some folk who could be here. There are some folk who could be here, but they ain't been converted. Because if you're truly been converted, you know the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves. Do I have any witnesses here today? Amen. Because if you've really been converted, somebody said, when I think about it. the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me. Amen. No highway is too long. No road is too long. No distance is too far. If I can get there, I want to get to the house of prayer and let God know that I'm truly thankful. I'm truly grateful after all that he's done in my life. I want to just get to 1210 M.W. Harrison Street so I can get with some other believers, some other folk who've had to fight their way through, some other folk who've had to praise their way through, some other folk who've been through hell and high water. I want to get there with them so that when Brooke Cutright gets to playing on the instrument about look how far God has brought me from, I want to add my little 2 cents and let God know I thank you, I thank you, I thank you. Where are the folk who are thankful? Young people, please hear me today. Get all that you can out of life. Get the best education that you can. Use your education and your talent to earn the best income that you can. Get a good religious foundation. Read your Bible. Come to worship and Bible study so that you may be grounded in God's will. But please remember that true success in life will always be just beyond your grasp until you've had a conversion experience with Christ. You can't live by the word until you've been converted. You can't make the most of your education or your talent until you've been converted. You won't know how to use your financial resources effectively until you have been converted. I wish somebody would help me talk to our young people and let them know, don't just play church. And really, y'all, that's the sad reality. Some of our young folk are twisted and confused because they've watched mama play church. Oh, I know y'all gonna get mad at me, but I'm gonna say, they've watched daddy play church. What you talking about, Pastor? What you mean playing church? You know what I mean. You done shouted all over this place up in here, amen, and get home and cussed everything out in the house. Justin told everybody to go to hell. And then you want to, amen, come over here and try to tell them how to get to heaven. And the kids are looking at you and say, well, mama, make up your mind. Daddy, make up your mind. Do you want me to go to heaven or do you want me to go to hell? Come on. Don't want to play church. Don't want to play church. Y'all, there are some realities that make it very important to me not to play church. And please, if you don't understand me, don't misunderstand me. I is not perfect. I am your pastor, and I am not perfect. Amen. But I don't play church. I have come to the realization that if I'm going to be anything that God wants me to be, I've got to have a relationship with him. I've got to have the indwelling presence of his Holy Spirit to help me work some stuff out. Now, don't y'all leave me out on the limb by myself. Are there any other folk in here who still have some stuff that you need the Holy Ghost to help you work out? Come on. And let me tell our visitors, because I know some of y'all go to churches where everybody from the pulpit to the pew tries to make you think they are 100. They got it all together. They speak in tongues and all of that. They don't sin. Amen. They wear long dresses and all that kind of stuff. Well, I hate to burst your bubble. Pleasant Hill is not that kind of church. We are a church of real people striving to serve a real God by ministering to the needs of a real world. At the end of the day, amen, whatever you want to say about Pleasant Hill, you got to say they real. Come on. And where are my folk who've dealt with enough fake and phony?